We'll bring Shai Davidian. He's our MLB insider at Sportsnet. Shai, thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah, no problem.
Your life got a little more difficult. Congratulations.
Got a little bit more interesting.
Between this and doping Russians, it kind of makes you long for those, you know, Wither the Setup Man articles, yeah. Doesn't it? Doesn't it?
Oh, man. It'd be nice to write a happy story, but that's okay.
So let's talk about, and I think Brent and myself have kind of walked people through this. I think we're probably all on the same page, I think I can say, you know, as to where this thing stands right now, exactly where it is. But the practical implications of this, Shai, this is a team that needs to sell tickets coming off the first season in 3 years where it didn't make the playoffs. It's got, you know, it started to see some of its iconic players, if you want to call them that, leave the nest. They've got another one, Josh Donaldson, who's a year away from free agency. They're building a new spring training site. And, oh, yeah, by the way, they have to pump about $500 million to improve into the Rogers Center to improve it. How does Mark Shapiro handle this going forward?
Well, I'm certain none of this is a total surprise to him, and he would have been able to operate under the understanding that he's got to run a responsible business, and that's in a lot of ways what he's been trying to do. And at this point, I don't think that they're on these two agenda items are sort of on the, you know, the same track. You know, the at the much higher ownership level, there's the exploration of whether or not a sale of the Blue Jays makes sense for the greater company as a whole within its goals. And then beneath that, you know, Mark Shapiro has to operate the business as he sees fit in order to continue to try and turn a profit and try to win baseball games. So, you know, there's almost like these parallel tracks of operation right now. And, you know, the better that obviously Mark Shapiro does on his end, the more attractive it potentially makes the Blue Jays on the ownership track.
You know, Shai, you hear occasionally from fans, maybe more than occasionally, that, and maybe even within baseball, there's a sense that, well, the Blue Jays, look at their ownership. They have the richest owner. You know, if you look, kind of add up all the assets, they have the richest owner in professional sport. You know, the company that is Rogers has an enormous assets.
But Scott Boras has made that point a handful of times.
I believe he may have said that just a couple of times. But, you know, I wonder if you talk a little bit. You know, we went down this road a bit already. But it is the awkward relationship between that company, because it's a publicly traded company in a different business, and the day-to-day, you know, even year-to-year, season-to-season operation of a professional baseball team. It's not, you know, it is not quite the simple fit and good fit that's, you know, that one might imagine.
Right. I think the key difference between the Blue Jays and the other clubs is, you know, the owners, the single owners of the 28 other teams, I believe the Braves are part of a conglomerate as well. They, you know, ultimately the profit and loss stops with them. And they, if they want to take a bit of a loss, they answer to themselves. And that's it. Whereas with the Blue Jays, they're a line item on the financial report of a publicly traded company that has to answer to thousands and thousands of shareholders who don't like to see losses, who need to see profits. And that, you know, limits to some way the way the Blue Jays operate, because they have to be responsible within the larger company as a whole, and they're a very small part of that business. They get a set number, they need to operate within that, and it's not like they can just reach into a pocket and say, hey, we're going to pull out a bunch of money, here we go, go ahead and do it. Everything has to be accounted for within the larger framework of a huge business. So that is the inherent conflict that you're alluding to there, Stephen, just how difficult it can be, because you do have to operate within a setting, within numbers that have to be publicly reported.
Well, and the other part, Shai, is that you know, public corporations operate quarter to quarter. And, you know, and there is a certain degree of predictability in their businesses as well. You know, you set targets, you try and achieve those targets, you try and sell as much as you can, you try and maximize profit, and you know you're going to have dips and peaks, but you know, baseball, it is difficult to run a professional baseball team, a professional sports franchise, on that basis. It seems to me that it would be a real challenge to try and answer questions quarterly in a business that has way more variables, and where you know often goals are longer term. They have to be longer term. They, you know, you can't you know, you can't build, you know, you can't win on the, build a winning team on the field, which is, you know, a precursor to winning at the box office in 3 month increments. It just doesn't work that way. To me, that's, you know, I think for Mark Shapiro or Paul Beeston or Paul Godfrey or anyone else who has run the Blue Jays under Rogers' ownership, that's been kind of a fundamental conflict, hasn't it?
Sure. And, you know, part of the conflict and part of the challenge is that, you know, your key performers in the sales of wireless product or the sales of cable or whatever service it may be, you know, aren't going to miss half the season because they blew out their elbow or they got a blister or they blew out their knee. And that's part of the volatility that a company has to live with a baseball team or a sports franchise in general, just because, you know, you could do everything right. You can have a tremendous offseason. You know, 2013 comes to mind. You could set your team up as perfectly as you like, and, you know, somebody could just turn the wrong way rounding first base, you know, stretch his arm out a little too much on a pitch, and all of a sudden your club's chances of winning and turning a profit have been submarined. So it's very tough for a publicly traded company to deal with that volatility and the potential impact to its quarterly reports, its annual reports, and its impact on the stock price. And that is, again, the inherent conflict here that makes it so difficult for the Blue Jays.
Well, because, you know, the guys on the corporate side, they're, you know, the basic question, and it's the right question, the responsible question is, if we spend this, what will happen?
Right.
And, you know, and on a baseball front, you can say, well, you know, if we renovate the stadium, you know, maybe this is where revenue will pour in, or if we, you know, do some other things, peripheral things. But in terms of the actual baseball, and I know you alluded to the offseason of 2013 when they, you know, they made a huge move. Just, you know, the question from the corporate side would have been, okay, you can do that and you can take on this payroll, but then how many games are you going to win? And that's the right question from a corporate point of view, and it's a ridiculous question from a sports point of view, and that's the conflict, isn't it?
Right. And you know, again, baseball operations now, they work off of various probabilities and performance projections, and they have a number of wins that they expect to get over the course of a season based on the roster that they have. But there is so much variation in human performance because it's not just a mental grind where, you know, you can consistently say, all right, my executives in these operations are going to be able to perform to this level on a consistent basis every day. You know, these are physical ailments or physical things where players can get ailments that prevent them from performing, and the desire and the will may be there, but the capability is not. And so you cannot guarantee that performance because of that. And, you know, that volatility is the bane of a corporate of a publicly traded corporation, and there's nothing but volatility in sports teams.
So, yeah, if you're the Blue Jays going into this offseason, you presume you're still going to have a payroll around $160 million. I think it needs to be said that there's no indication that this is, you know, this is a sign that the tap's going to be shut down or anything like that. But if you're Mark Shapiro and you've got to make and Ross Atkins Shine, you've got to make some long term decisions about players here. Does this make you even less likely to commit to a long term contract with a player, whether it's your own player or a free agent, or do you just have to operate under the assumption that how we are today is how we're going to be next year and 4 years down the road?
Well, you know, you're going to work off of certain premises, and, like, you know, you're going to have some revenue streams that are going to be relatively consistent, right? We're getting this much money from TV contracts in Major League Baseball. We're getting this much money from our local TV contracts and other rights. We can expect this much in merchandise. So you have a baseline with which to operate. And that is sort of guiding your longer-term decisions in terms of what are your projections for 2018 and beyond. Now, if you're talking about a long-term contract, if you believe that it's a good deal and it makes sense and provides value for the duration of the contract, then, you know, I think you have the business case for it, and then you'll be able to do it. And one thing that we've seen is that whenever the Blue Jays can make a good business case for whatever move they want to make, the money has been there for them, whether it was the deals with the Marlins and the Mets before the 2013 season, or Russell Martin, or some of the contracts we've seen subsequently. So this is I think they'll continue to work within their own business parameters. I would guess that there hasn't been guidance away from that based on the way that they've operated to this point. And I think beyond that, we'll have to wait and see whether there is any sort of impact. But I wouldn't expect there to be, because if you pull back, in a sense, you just devalue the asset.
You know, the flip side of that, though, is, Shai, there have been moments where, you know, and again, maybe it was because there was the inability to make a strong enough business case where the team seems to have been hamstrung financially. You know, I think of the Irvin Santana salary deferral spring, for instance, right? Where,
sure.
So, and again, maybe the argument was they couldn't make a good enough case for that, or the trade deadline. I don't know if it was the same year. I'm trying to remember now.
It was the spring of 2014, and then during the trade deadline of 2014.
Exactly. Where, you know, it would appear that, you know, that there was either the case was not being made or the funds were not being made available.
Right. And I think the difference there, or part of it, was at that point, the relationship between Paul Beeston and the Blue Jays ownership had started to turn a little bit. And maybe some of the trust had eroded because, you know, the buildup of 2013 happened. It backfired. It didn't succeed. And I'm guessing a lot of the targets weren't met. And subsequently, the reaction was, okay, well, you know, you've gotten your budget. Work within your budget, and you can't get anything further beyond that.